Beyond the Wrench with Jay Ginninen from Wrenchway.
Welcome back to Beyond the Wrench. My name is Jay Ginninen, and I am your host. Today, we are switching it up a bit and celebrating Wrenchway's three-year anniversary. In a recent webinar, I, along with a few other Wrenchway team members, shared the unfiltered truth about Wrenchway's three-year journey. We discussed lessons we've learned over the past few years, what needs to change in order for this industry to thrive, and some hard truths that shops and dealerships need to hear. I hope you enjoy this candid episode, and don't forget to follow, rate, and review the Beyond the Wrench podcast. Thank you to all of you for listening to this podcast and for your support of Wrenchway over the past 3 years. We look forward to what's to come and really, really enjoy being able to share this with you. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get things kicked off here. Really excited to have everybody here for what is kind of a different topic this month for our webinar. And really excited to kind of maybe pull the curtain aside and show everybody or share with everybody a little bit more about Wrenchway. A lot of the what we've learned over the past 3 years. Really excited to be joined by my co-founder, Mark Wilson, and our director of marketing, Sarah Kerwin, to really dive in deep with this. Okay, just a quick intro to Wrenchway, and this slide is a little different than maybe some of the other webinars that we've done, and I think it really plays into everything that we're talking about here and celebrating our third anniversary, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, everything in between. But through it all, our mission is to promote and improve careers in the automotive and diesel industry. I think it's really important, and we'll talk about why that means so much to us and why we feel like it should mean a lot to everybody in the industry to really get our industry into a better place. So we have, as part of the platform, 1,000 shops and dealerships from across the United States. You're able to look at them. If you've not done it, go out and check out these shops, Top Shops pages. There's a lot of really good information in there. And even if you're another shop that's on this webinar, I think there's always so much you can learn and so much that you can see about other shops and maybe learn something to hopefully make your own shop a little bit better. We also have 600 schools on the platform. I think the cool part about this is this has grown dramatically over the last 6 months. We've put a lot of effort into the school side. It's been really, going back to our mission of promoting and improving careers in the automotive and diesel industry. I think that's a really, really important piece, right? So put a lot of effort into that. And then lastly, we have over 10,000 registered individual accounts. Now, the important thing to know there is those are the numbers that the amount of people that actually have registered for an account. We actually have a lot more than that. You don't have to register to use the site. And so there's a lot of applicants out there. There's a lot of people that might not necessarily sign up for a Wrenchway account that are able to take advantage of what we do at Wrenchway here. So Mark, I'm going to open it up to you here a little bit on the numbers. Anything that you'd like to add there?
No, I mean, it's been a wild ride. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're proud of where we're at. You always want to be further along, but I mean, that's just being an entrepreneur. And you're right. We see a lot more traffic. I think we're consistently around 30,000 active users monthly now on the site. The others that aren't registered, I call them lurkers. I myself do that on other sites where I might not be ready to make a comment or some other things that require you to officially create an account, but either way, activity is happening, and that's what we want to do. So this is going to be a lot different roundtable or webinar than our normal ones. Usually it's all about the industry, and this one we kind of want to talk about ourselves a little bit as a company and be transparent, and we'll still talk a lot about the industry, don't get me wrong, but I think that's okay too. I think a lot of people that have either joined us recently or have been with us for the full 3 years, they probably want to see a behind the scenes look at some of the things that happen here. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And the growth continues to happen. And I think it's such a credit to the industry as a whole of seeing that. And we'll talk through some of the challenges that we see on that end and really getting industry to understand the need to maybe do this a little bit differently. So with that, just want to run through a quick agenda, and then I'll get out of the way and let Mark and Sarah kind of take over here for a little bit. But we do have a special announcement that I think we're all really, really excited about. So we're going to share that next. And then we're going to just have a general discussion. Sarah's going to take over and asking some questions and offering some insights in, from her perspective. But then Mark and I are going to talk through some of the things we've learned, as it says here, the good, the bad, and the ugly of growing Wrenchway. So just a good, honest conversation that we're able to have with all of you. And then lastly, we'll open it up to some Q&A if you have questions out there. So with that, Mark, I'm going to hand it off to you.
Perfect. All right. So the special announcement that Jay was talking about, a little background. I think anytime you're celebrating, whether it's an anniversary or even just year end, going into a new year, a calendar year end, really any milestone, it's always a good time to reflect on the good, but also to look back. Have we strayed away from originally why we started it, or have we allowed ourselves to, you know, I use the term around here a lot, get bloated in certain areas. I'm guilty of it. One of my roles is overseeing the product development of our company. And it's the hardest part is saying no to things. Like there's so many things we want to help out with, so many features we want to build. And you start to do that, and just little by little, all of a sudden, you've taken on too much, and it's almost confusing sometimes of what you are to a new person coming on. And I think we do a pretty good job of staying on mission. I know we talk all the time about promote and improve the industry, but if we're honest too, I think there are some things that maybe we tried to tackle that we weren't ready for. I think there are some things messaging wise when we talk to new shops or even schools that it might be a little confusing. So when we looked at this, of okay, we're celebrating 3 years. Really, I had two goals of like, what can we do to create a little splash to get people excited? But then also, are there parts that we need to get back on track a little bit? So I put a couple bullets here of let's get back to basics. Jay, we always had the mission that we talk about of promoting and improving the careers for technicians. We always talk about wanting to solve the shortage. But I just adamantly believe that a big step in doing that is getting everyone on the same platform talking, giving technicians one place that they can go and not see the same job description that you see on every single job board, but an inside look of what it's like working at any shop that they see. And if you can't figure it out by looking at the pictures or reading the descriptions, a place to send a message and know you're actually going to get a response and not just a canned, you know, automatic email that no human ever responds to. So I think in our excitement of building out other pieces, we got away from that a little bit. So I want to bring us back to, all right, let's push as hard as we can to get one place for all the good shops to be able to show what it's like working there, both for technicians, but then also one place where shops and schools can connect. I know we'll talk about that more here later about growing the school side. But that basic concept of just getting an easy place to start the conversations, a lot of these issues we're trying to tackle as a company and as an industry, if you're having conversations all over the place, nothing really gets done. So what we're trying to do at Wrenchway is be that place to facilitate the conversation. So with that, if we had the goal of doing that, we need to make it easy. We have worked really hard to, when someone signs up, to make it easier for them to be up and running. We're actually adding, Jay, you can click to the next part here. We are adding a way to self-sign up. So on our site now, we want you to talk to salespeople, but if you know you just want to sign up and get an account, we didn't have that before. I get frustrated as a user with other companies when I'm like, I know I want to sign up. Can't you just let me? Why do I have to schedule a demo? So we added that. Some people will still want a demo, and that's fine. Some people will want to see a recorded video. That's fine. We're adding those things to just make it easier for shops to sign up. Also with pricing, we are doing a limited time pricing, again, to kind of make a splash here, where someone can sign up for our standard version for $600 and the premium version for $900. Normally, our pricing starts at $1,800 a year. Most of our clients tell us that that pricing is well worth it, easily pays for itself. I mean, I always joke, even if you only hired one person in a year or even 2 or 3 years, that is less than you'd pay a recruiter. But we wanted to say, all right, if we truly want this to be the place that every shop can sign up for, make it easy and affordable. I don't know that we'll be able to do this pricing forever. But in the short term here, we are doing this pricing. We're testing it out with the self-signup model, or even if you want a demo, it'll go at least till the end of July, and then we're kind of seeing how it goes. We aren't forgetting about our existing clients. I personally hate when I buy something and then a month later it goes on sale and I don't get that price. So we are taking care of our existing clients. We'll be reaching out to you, clients that are on this call, and talking about that, how you can take advantage of this pricing. It's also something you can lock in. So if you're signing up, not only are you getting this annual price today for this year, but if you choose to keep renewing, you'll lock in this pricing as well. So kind of something that honestly, Jay, you and I might get in trouble for at the board meeting here at the end of the month, but I'm excited to do it. And we always go back to, we need to service any shop that hires technicians and have a solution for them, whether that's Lithia is our largest client currently, or Jay, your dad shop, which has, you know, what, 7-8 people total, or even the 1 or 2 person shop. And this pricing is a good way for us to do that. And the self sign up where they might be doing some of these things at 10 o'clock at night when we don't have salespeople around to talk to them. So I went through a lot there. This whole webinar is not going to be about our new pricing, but I did want to bring that up before we get into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jay, Sarah, you have anything you want to add about this kind of new promo we're doing? It's definitely the most aggressive thing we've ever done.
It really is, but I think you hit it on the head. And, you know, I think some of it is we want to take away some of the intimidation or, you know, really make it feel open to anybody. And I think that's been really one of the things that I try to stress when I'm talking to a shop is you're trying to really show why you're different or why anything is different about you compared to the shops down the road. And our pages do a really nice job of that. And honestly, I think just being able to, from a technician standpoint, view all of the important details is so important because it's oftentimes one of the biggest decisions that that technician makes. And I don't think we give that part enough credit because it is when you're in staffing or if you have a shop and you're constantly hiring technicians, maybe we don't think through that side as much. And I think it's really important from a technician standpoint to be comfortable with a decision that they make and feel like they had enough information to make a good educated decision. So Sarah, I don't know if you'd add anything to what Mark and I said there as well.
I was really excited when Mark first brought up this pricing. And I think it's because I think you guys would agree that a lot of times shops are hesitant to try something new like this. And I mean, Wrenchway does take a different approach to hiring and retention. And I'm hoping that this lower price point, you know, gets them over the edge and they're like, okay, we can try it out for this. And then I know they're going to see the value in it. So I think it's just a really exciting opportunity to hopefully get some new shops to try it out who were a little scared to do it before.
Yeah, well said, both of you. I'm excited. We let our sales team in the last week talk about this to people they were already talking about because, I mean, it wasn't really fair to sign a contract and then a week later come out with this. So far, the response has been great. And like I said, if you're an existing customer on this call, we will be reaching out in the next few days to show how this affects you. We take care of people that helped us in the early days, or if you just signed up, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever. We thought this through a lot to make sure no one is left out. So Jay, I'm good to go. If anyone in the chat area has questions about it, just let us know, or you can reach out on the site. Everything's updated on the site as of now, right before this webinar, to include this pricing and that self sign up model. So give it a whirl. Let's test it out.
Yeah, and I think we're really excited about it, and then really excited about the conversation that we're about to have, right? I think it's really kind of opening up about a lot of the things that we've gone through in the last 3 years, really celebrating some of that, but then also just kind of diving in and giving good, candid answers, I feel like, to questions. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Sarah to kind of run the show and maybe hit us with some hard-hitting questions here.
I know. I hope our audience is ready for a second grade moderator, because normally Jay kind of takes this role on, but we're putting him in the hot seat today. So you're going to have to settle for me. But I think we came up with some pretty good questions for both Mark and Jay. But if by chance we don't ask something that you want to hear, if you have something that you want to know, make sure and put it in the Q&A. And if we don't get to it during the presentation, we left time for Q&A at the end. So I'm going to jump right into it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, though, the reason we went this format is we had the title, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. We want to show kind of or talk about behind the scenes of building a company like this, our thoughts on the industry. We probably talk to more technicians or people hiring technicians than anybody in the country. So we get to see a lot of insights. And we're like, well, how do we go about doing this? So we thought it'd be best if we just wrote some questions down that people might be curious about, and then Jay and I will answer them, but then also get some questions from the audience. And it's a good way, I think, to kind of show the journey of the 3 years in a kind of informal way.
Wrenchway is gearing up to host our first series of TechMission local events in 11 cities across the U.S. Each city's virtual event will include a shop showcase to give technicians a detailed look at what it's like to work at the top shops in their area without having to leave their couch, a survey that will give a voice to technicians to provide feedback on the industry, tons of awards for the best shops, technicians, and instructors, over $10,000 in prizes, plus a recognition room where participants can give a shout out to a teacher, coworker, manager, or friend who has made a positive impact on their career. Join us the week of September 18th to empower technicians, highlight great shops, and celebrate our community's automotive and diesel industry. Sponsorships are also available. Registration is free and now open. Go to wrenchway.com, click the local chapter link, and select your city to learn more and pre-register. Link is in the show notes.
All right, perfect. So I'm going to start with Jay on this one. What do you think has been the coolest thing to see over the past 3 years?
I think anytime you're in a startup and you're growing something and you're growing something from scratch, you don't very often kind of take a step back and look at the progress that you've made over that period of time, which is why I'm really excited to have this conversation today. But I think for me, one of the coolest things that we've done and really, I think, matured with is our mission. We had started a prior company called Find a Wrench, which was really recruiting focused. That was really me in my basement, and then that grew. But it really wasn't solving the problem, right? It wasn't you're stealing, you know, basically one technician from one shop to go to another. And really, that's what recruiting is, right? You're trying to get somebody to come work for you. Where we really focused with Wrenchway was making it mission-based, and how do we make this platform and really this industry a better place to be? And I think a lot of it was being able to work together and bring everybody together in the industry. And so I think when I look at it and I look back at the coolest thing, I think the fact that the mission has become such a core piece of the platform, of our business, of everything that we do, and we point back to that constantly. I think we've all worked at companies in the past where you have that mission statement up and it really doesn't mean anything. For us, we talk about it daily. Sarah, I think you could probably attest to that as much as anybody, but we talk about it all the time. And even when we are making a change or we're trying something different, it is for the betterment of the industry. And I think for me, the fact that we've stayed on mission for this long has been one of the coolest parts about it.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, that promote and improve. You guys are, I can see you smiling. You know where I'm going with this, but I have a friend that owns a printing company, and I called him up one day and I'm pounding the table. This is probably a year and a half ago on like promote and improve. Like everything we do has to come back to that. And so I called him up, Brian's his name. And I'm like, Brian, I don't care what you have laying around, if it's the ugliest thing in the world. I want a big giant banner that just literally says promote and improve. That's it. And then, yeah, we laughed about, we'll post a picture of it sometime here.
It was ugly.
Already. Yeah. it's not the best looking thing. And there were a lot of jokes of how I never can be in charge of marketing or anything like that. But the point is, like, that's what we live and breathe. And Jay, you're so right about that. So I suppose it's my turn to answer. Sarah, what was the question again? Sorry.
The question is, what has been the coolest thing to see over the past 3 years?
All right. So for me, I think a lot of people looking at the names have been on our webinars in the past. So they probably know our story a little. They know Jay was a tech. His dad still has a shop. He lives and breathes the industry. That was not me when I started. Jay and I were friends prior to this. Still are, but I mean, that's how we got connected. I actually started as a CPA and then went the software route, and I've started a couple other companies on the software side. I didn't know a lot about the industry until Jay hooked me. Like, I drank that Kool-Aid and I am fully bought in now. And so just learning the industry and getting an appreciation for everything technicians do and, you know, others in the industry as well. That's been very exciting for me and eye-opening. And, you know, thank you, Jay, for being patient with me. But I think it's also good that, same with Sarah, we came with not a lot of industry background, which sometimes can be good, because sometimes when you grow up with it your whole life, you take things for granted and you don't question the basic things. So that's been the most interesting thing for me of the last 3 years. And then tied for that is helping schools. You know, we'll get into that later. So maybe I'll save some of those stories, but when you just hear some of these things, even here locally in Madison, there's a school that, may or may not be getting shut down on their auto program, and we're meeting with them and helping them out. And others in the industry, they want to help as well, but I think they just get tied up in so much. So Jay and I, like, because we have the company we do, I think we could dive a little deeper and think a little more differently. And it truly does make a difference. It sometimes sounds cheesy. And like Jay said, I used to be the guy rolling my eyes at mission and all this, but it's been fun. It's so much more rewarding when you go to work every day and you work on something that, one, you have fun with, and two, can make a big difference in people's lives. So hopefully the rest of my answers on this today won't be as cheesy as that, but that truly is my answer for this one.
It's so true, though. I mean, I don't, as Mark said, like, I don't have a background in this industry as well. So coming into it, I didn't know what to expect. And like, everyone is so friendly and like wants to help each other out. And I mean, not that I came from an unfriendly industry, you know, it was like a more of a financial software, but this is just a whole nother level. Like, all, you know, all of the vendors want to work together. Everyone like is offering up, you know, advice and things. And it's really fun. It makes my job a lot easier.
I love to hear that.
Let's keep going. So I'm going to start with Mark on this one. What is one thing you wish you could do over?
So in growing Ranchway, kind of the thing I was talking about when I said back to basics, I think we were guilty, as a lot of early stage companies are, of taking on too much and saying yes to too many features, which confuses things. And then it made us do a lot of things okay, but not do some core things really, really well. So yeah, that would be my answer of taking on too many things too soon. I guess we don't need specific examples of that, but yeah.
It's a hard thing not to do, though, right? Because, and I think the listeners can probably attest to this, we're always listening and we always want to do what's right by our clients and by technicians and schools. And I think our heart's in the right place all the time. It's just a matter of, you know, how do you prioritize that and how do you communicate that if maybe somebody wants a feature, but hey, it's just not in the cards right now. And I think that's true of any business in trying to figure out what those big priorities are. But it's also one of the most challenging things because it probably is a great idea. And for us, to make sure that we're really, really, I like what you said, Mark, really focusing on the details and making sure that what we do have out there is executing at a really, really high level. So then my answer, so the question of things I wish I could have done different or that we could have done different. When we had transitioned over fully to Wrenchway, I think putting a bigger priority on schools right off the bat would have been my biggest thing, right? I think when you look at it in our mission, you have to have schools involved in that mission. You have to grow these programs to be bigger and put more people into the industry. So, you know, I think hindsight's 2020, but looking back at it, I wish we would have maybe attacked that school side a little bit more, and especially because we've been able to see all the progress over the last 6 months to a year on the school side. A lot of credit to Sarah, Val, Abby, on the marketing team, Lisa, who have really done a lot with the schools and really trying to engage with the schools. I think that was something that when looking back that maybe we probably should have went after a little bit more aggressively at first.
Those are both really good answers. And watching the schools part grow has been just awesome. Yeah, I definitely wish we would have done it sooner, but it's pretty cool to see, you know, when you guys are like, okay, you know, we're focusing on schools now, to see what the team was capable of doing and how many people we were able to reach in that short amount of time was pretty awesome.
For sure.
All right. Let's start with Jay on this one. I'm interested to hear how you guys answer this differently, Jay, since you've been in the industry for a long time, and Mark, since you're a little bit newer to the industry. What is your biggest frustration with this industry?
I might be here for 2 to 3 days to explain through all of this. I think so much of it is our industry not trying to fix the problem, right? We're very much trying to put that Band-Aid on a bullet hole and really focusing on the short term. And I talk about this a lot because coming from industry, there's so much pressure on you to perform and your P&Ls and you're living month by month. And that can be a really, really big challenge because it doesn't allow you to kind of back yourself out of your day-to-day fires, right? And so being able to see that we need to change as an industry, and that the more we just try to come up with short-term solutions, even like what at Find a Wrench back in the day, like it was far more of a short-term solution than fixing the actual problem. And so we're certainly, me in particular, certainly not innocent there. But I do think it's one of those things where the more we can address the issue at hand and the actual base of the issue, the core of the issue, rather than just trying to go with quick fixes, the better off our industry is going to be as a whole. So for me, the biggest frustration with industry is really getting everybody on the same page as to why we need to fix this at its core.
Absolutely. Mark, what about you? What's your biggest frustration?
Well, Jay, I think, so we agreed we wouldn't repeat each other's answers, so I'll go a different route. But I will piggyback on Jay's before I do that. That's what I would have said. I probably would have phrased it or said it a little differently on every conference you go to, every poll you read of what is your biggest challenge going forward, whether you're a dealer, a shop, you know, whatever it is. In the top two or three is always mentioned on not being able to hire technicians. So it's usually one of the top issues, yet companies don't really do anything about it. And I think that's what Jay was saying. I mean, we always say post and pray, post on Indeed and pray you'll get someone. And beyond that, they're not really doing a lot. And that's what we're trying to do, but we can't do it overnight either. And I mean, I just got done talking about $600 a year for our product. Like for that price, you're not going to single-handedly fix your issue. We will help and supplement that, but it's got to be more than that. So I don't know the right answer, but it is frustrating that it is a top problem, but doesn't get hardly any resources. But that being said, that's basically what Jay said. So I said I wouldn't repeat, and I kind of did. My other one, I have to probably choose my words a little carefully here, but I think it's good to be open. I don't think we talk enough in the industry about, honestly, there are just some bad shops out there, places that don't treat their employees well. I don't think it's bad people. I think they're overworked and, you know, pulled in too many directions. But if we're being honest, there's just a lot of places that don't treat their employees well. And I don't think it's the majority. And I don't think it's just our industry. It happens in every industry. But when we all complain about like forums and people complaining and telling their kids or their friends not to go in this industry, it's the, I don't know what it is, 10%, 20% of shops that ruin it for everybody else. So we got to find a way to get those shops, and maybe I shouldn't use the term bad shops, because just like uninformed shops almost, because a lot of people think they are doing things the right way and not realizing that pay has changed a lot in the last 20 years since you started, or people care more about not working crazy hours. So that is a frustration. But then the other side of that coin, there are so many places, employers that do things the right way. My frustration with them is you would never know it by looking at them. I mean, all the common complaints you have about traditional flat rate or things like that, and then you talk to a shop and they're like, well, we heard our employees, so we do offer some sort of guarantee, or we know everyone doesn't like warranty rates. So we actually, we're seeing more and more now people that pay, you know, 1.5x for warranty or things like that. And those are just examples. That a lot of shops have listened to their employees, their technicians, but you would never know it. Like, why aren't you trumpeting that and just screaming it from the mountaintop that you have done these things? So that's a frustration too, of like this perception we have of the industry. It just isn't getting fixed fast enough. And that's why we're here. So I'm a little biased saying that, but anyway, rant over on that. hopefully that made sense and I wasn't too scattered there, Sarah.
It did. It did make sense. Don't get too comfortable, because I'm coming right back at you with another one here.
Okay.
What has been the most surprising thing that has happened over the last 3 years?
So for me, newer to the industry, as a former CPA, I was surprised coming in how much and how good shops and service managers are at focusing on the numbers. Jay used to be in that role, so I go to him a lot and ask, you know, what do you really look at? What do you guys review monthly? It took me a while to learn that. I was impressed by that. Maybe I had a little stereotype of, you know, kind of white collar in my past. I grew up on a farm. I've owned small businesses, so I get it. But for whatever reason, I didn't think it would be as numbers oriented as it is. So I think that is good 80, 90% of the time. I also think there's sometimes too much focus on the short term. I used to be a controller of a publicly traded company, and as a public company, you are always chasing the next quarter. And that short-term thinking is also often a detriment to long-term goals. I think I see that a lot with our industry too, where there's so much pressure on whether it's the service manager or whoever to, you know, if it's gross margin or whatever their main metric is monthly, that they do that for the short term, but they are not investing in the long term that they need to be. And so that's what I was surprised about. So I do think it's a net positive, but I do think sometimes it creates some unintended consequences. And we're seeing that firsthand in our industry or in our business.
Great. What about you, Jay?
For biggest surprises, I think some of it comes down to, I think from a surprise standpoint, how short we are on technicians. You know, I think it's easy to read the statistics and how I think a lot of times it becomes kind of just white noise because you always hear it. You just always hear about the technician shortage. And I don't know if I fully even grasped when we started this business of how bad the shortage is. And you can read it, you can talk about it, but until you actually feel it and you see the pain in these shops when they can't hire somebody because there aren't bodies out there to be able to hire. I think that's been probably the biggest, biggest thing that surprised me, and it shouldn't have, right? Like this is stuff I've been around my entire life, and it's been an issue for a really long time, but it's gotten really, really bad. And I think that's the need, and really trying to get the industry and pull the industry together to steer the ship in the right direction. Because if we don't, it's just going to continue to get worse. And that's such a struggle for everybody. And to see, we've literally seen shops close down, and this is probably more on the independent side, but close down because they couldn't find people. And they figured that it was easier to shut down their shop than try to find people, which is just crazy to me. So, you know, I think we all see the hurt out there in the industry, and we all see, you know, how bad of a position it can put you in when you don't have good staffing. And it's heartbreaking, you know, to see shops that are trying their tails off and really just not able to get ahead. And I think that's the importance of why we need to pull everybody together to move in a better direction, because we see it firsthand, and we see some of these shops that just, you know, are in a really, really tough spot. And I think the more proactive we can get as an industry, and not just kind of try to get by from day to day, but actually put some processes in place to develop talent and have a good recruiting strategy, is so important. Even know why you're a good shop to work for. You know, I think having those honest conversations with yourself and knowing where you struggle at, and maybe where you're really, really good at, is so important. And we don't just say that. I mean, if shops can get really good at that, at just truly understanding what they're good at, it can have an impact that'll change their entire business at some level.
Absolutely. Well said.
Join top shops, dealers, and schools across the country to promote and improve technician careers. Wrenchway memberships help shops and dealerships engage with schools, improve technician hiring and retention, and make better business decisions with access to useful data. Shops use Wrenchway to build relationships with and support multiple schools on one platform. Show technicians why they're a great place to work. Stay up to date on best practices. Attract passive candidates. Tap into Wrenchway's growing network of industry professionals. And make better business decisions with meaningful industry data. Want to learn more about Wrenchway shop memberships? Visit Wrenchway.com and click on the Four Shops tab, or contact us at info@Wrenchway.com. Link is in the show notes.
I'm going to pause because we had a really good question come through the Q&A from Scott. He said, what is the number one thing you think Wrenchway has made a difference in the last 3 years for the industry? I love that question.
I can go first if you want.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that is. It's tough because you can speak in generalities or specifics. And I don't know if you saw, I was reading that as Jay was talking and wrote a couple things down. In general terms, I think there are a lot of technicians that have found really good places to work. And that's a main reason we started this. Some individual examples of that. I know we had talked and highlighted someone that moved across country for Craig's Car Care based on everything he did on Wrenchway. And there are a lot of other stories like that. Maybe not moving across the country, but just people that find a good place to work. So I think that is satisfying. Some shops are understanding they need to be more transparent. I know Adam, drawing a blank on his, or Fred, he's, why am
Fred
I drawing
Jaswicki?
Yeah, exactly. He's been talking about, you know, he might not always find people, and same with your dad's shop, Jay. They might have found you on Indeed, but then you send them the link and things like that, and it gets them to come here because they get more information before they come in for an interview. So I think that's one quick example. The money we give away to schools, and when I say we, it's because of our sponsors. Jay, you send those checks out to them, and it's only $500. We do it very often, but you get the best thank you handwritten notes from those, pictures like that. That hits hard. I mean, that's exciting to see that type of stuff. And then even the webinars we do. Jay, I think you were surprised, like that one on flexible work schedules, the number of shop management, I guess I'll call it, in for some big groups that hadn't even thought of it that way and now are implementing change. And to me, I was like, there's no way these people haven't thought of these things before. But just bringing people together to share stories like that has led to some other change that will affect people's lives. And those are the things that it's hard to quantify and it's hard to make a true ROI on that. But like, we hear those stories all the time. And maybe, Sarah, we need to do a better job of sharing more of those stories because it's so impactful, I think. So anyway, Jay, I'll let you go. I ramble a lot of those, but those were some examples I thought of with Scott's question.
That is a way better answer than I was going to give. So I would echo everything you just said. I think the impact that we're having on schools is really rewarding. I think, you know, this industry is near and dear to my heart, and it's, you know, kind of, I just live and breathe this stuff. And I think the paradigm shift and continuing to push that in ways that maybe we can reach parents or students or educators who are really not fully aware or maybe are misinformed about what our industry is and the opportunities that are out there. I think the more we can push that, and I think, as you mentioned, through story and being able to share some of those really cool things are what's needed. And I talk about this a lot, but when you go to a Facebook group and you kind of read through all of the negative comments, and typically it's the really loud minority that are talking about the difficulties in our industry and just complaining just to complain, you're pushing people away, and we've got to try and figure out how to correct that narrative. And I think working together is such a big thing. So I would just echo everything that you said, and really the efforts to try and maybe change the perception of the industry as a whole.
Great answers. All right. I love this question too. My next question, if you can pick only one, who is an industry all-star that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Who's up first?
Let's go with Jay.
Okay.
This is a brutal question, by the way. This is a really, really hard one. We work with so many talented people, and honestly, so many people that got involved with us at Wrenchway at such an early stage, to where, you know, I think it was because of a relationship, or it was because they believed in what we were doing that made it happen. And one comes to mind off the top of my head, and that's actually a couple of guys out at Toyota in the Portland region, is Brian Hebert and Jeff Harbaugh. They've really done a lot to help us develop the platform, a lot of good feedback, but also just being champions of what we're doing and really kind of wearing that on their sleeve and talking to so many people on our behalf. So those are the two that come to mind. There are so many that are so great. And I almost feel like I'm doing a disservice to so many people by just selecting one or two people. But Mark, curious to hear what you come up with here.
Yeah, I'm cheating a little. I'm saying a couple. Sorry. I know that's not fair. But a couple that come to mind. I had just talked in the last segment about Craig from Craig's Car Care. I think he does an amazing job. He shows that even as a smaller shop, you can do the stuff that we ask, and it's helped him grow his team. But also he is a huge industry advocate. A lot of what he does isn't just for his company. He does it to grow, and a lot of stuff that are behind the scenes that people don't see. Another one I thought of right away was William or Bill from the Tom Wood Group. Jay, you probably know him at this point better than I. I've literally only met the guy once. I talked to him and I was like, Jay, we need him on the podcast. Like, we need more people in the industry like him. His episode of the podcast was great. They are a great organization. And so I tried to think a little differently. We had an independent there, a dealer group. And then as a technician, I think Russell Wickham is awesome too. He's been on our podcast. He's outspoken, which can be good and bad. But he tells it how it is. And I think we need more of that. So again, cheating, but my real answer that I picked, so just one, even though it's four, but the one I'm really highlighting is Tim from VIP, Tim Winkler from VIP. It's near and dear to my heart because when I started with you at Find a Wrench and we were merging into Wrenchway, I was new to the industry. Tim was the first what I'd call big client that I kind of pitched our services to. He took a took a little bit of a risk going with us. He's invited us out there. Jay, we've learned a lot about how they run their business. They're just great partners of ours, and he thinks differently, and he's just an overall good guy. And again, it's one of the first ones that I personally talked to, and not like just listening while Jay was talking in those early days. So that would be my one, even though I said four.
Well, it's hard. I mean, sorry. Go ahead, Sarah. It is so hard.
Because this is an impossible question, I jotted down more than one name as well. So I'm also going to cheat and chime in. I said Steve Hamry. He was one of our earliest supporters when he was over at Lithia. And he's just been such an asset to our company. And he's been on roundtables. And he just gets it when it comes to recruiting techs. And I can't say enough good things about him. He's just a great guy too. But also a couple of special mentions. I'd say Lindsay Trett from Walzer. I'm a big supporter of strong females in this industry, and she is just the epitome of it. I love what she does over there at Walzer. She does a great job. Darren Damron from Jasper. I mean, he's just a great guy, you know, like who doesn't love Darren? He's great. And I'd also say, on the school side, I'm a shout out to Tracy Hicks, from Frederick County Public Schools. He is just an amazing instructor. And again, like I can't say enough good things about these people, but if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Steve Hamry.
I do have to add a couple others as I was looking at the attendee list. And
dangerous.
I feel,
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Jason Olinger, you know, the stuff he's doing on TikTok to raise awareness, and has been a huge supporter of Wrenchway. Ray Clark, the list just keeps going and going and going. And I'm
people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody. It's like, it just, again, so many great people in our industry and so many supporters. Emily DeWitt, I see you commenting there, like you're on all of our webinars. It's just so many rock stars in our industry. And you can tell, I feel like a lot of times we're lucky because we get to work with the best of the best and the people that, you know, not only our clients, but also know that like, hey, we can work together and try to figure things out. And I think when you look at those partnerships that we've got and several of them that have been with us from the start, our company doesn't exist without these people. And that's why it's such a hard question, because so many have been instrumental in our growth, in really our health as a company. And we truly, from the bottom of our hearts, could not do it without you. So apologies if we didn't get to mention you, but I all of you know who you are, and we really, really appreciate it.
We love you all.
Yes.
Sarah, I think I'm guilty. I made that one last long, but let's go lightning round for a few.
Yes,
of these.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
Four or five left to get through.
Right. Yep. All right. Sounds good. So Mark, let's start with you on this one. What is the toughest thing Wrenchway has faced as a business?
I think figuring out where we fit in, and this might be one where Jay and I's answer overlap. People want us to be a job board, or they want us to be traditional recruiters, and we want to take a different route. We also need to be respective of, like, just because we want everyone to make content doesn't mean everyone is going to make content or is comfortable with that. So we are adapting along the way. But figuring out where we fit in and how to educate others of both what we are and what we are not has been a challenge. And we haven't solved it. We're still working on that. We're getting better, but we still have a ways to go on that.
Sure.
Yeah, mine overlaps that a little bit too. Just a new concept, a different way of going about it. And I think anytime you introduce change, it's a big challenge. So I echo everything Mark said right there.
Great. All right, Jay, what do you see for the future of technician recruiting, or what do you think shops need to be ready for?
Growing our own, right? I think if it's a simple numbers game and there just aren't enough people in this industry to fill all of the open positions, we've got to get comfortable with training and developing. And, you know, I think George Aarons always talks about it, where we view training young people as an expense when it really should be viewed as an asset, and that you're training and you're growing your people. We've got to grow some patience there. I think that's the biggest thing that's going to happen, is It's almost forced patience. I think it's going to push us up against the wall, and we're not going to have a choice but to be patient. And so I think that, to me, is where we've got to really right the ship as an industry and focus on training, development, growing our own young people, getting really, really good people interested in this industry. And I think the more we can get industry to follow us along there, I think the better.
For sure. What about you, Mark?
So real quick, it was where they need to be aware. Sorry, I lost my sheet of question.
Yeah. So what do you see for the future of technician recruiting, or what do you think shops need to be ready for?
So what they need to be ready for is admit what they did in the past probably isn't going to work. I said post and pray already. I don't think that's going to work. Times have changed forever. Some things work in cycles, some things change permanently. And I think a lot of what we're seeing isn't going back to the way it used to be. So what does the future have? I think I could go through a lot of things, but since we're trying to keep this quick, the one word I would say is transparency. Your best way to recruit is to show what you do, show what you do well. It doesn't have to be video or anything like that, but just like I said a few questions ago, so many shops do such a good job at so many things, and you would never, ever, ever know it by looking at their website, by looking at their social media, by reading their job descriptions. They just need to do a better job at that. It's not hard. It's just getting started. But anyway.
Yeah. Especially with Gen Z. I mean, they can smell bullshit. Like, that you need to be transparent and put it all out there with them, especially. All right. Mark, what is the biggest threat to Wrenchway as a business?
Kind of what I was saying on the last one, that shops won't embrace change or won't think differently. And they'll just hope they can, you know, spend money on a job board or whatever. And we're not saying don't do that either, by the way. We're just saying, you know, supplement what you do and do think a little differently. So I think that that won't happen fast enough. We are fortunate to have good investors. You know, in the spirit of disclosing the good, the bad, and the ugly, we raised a small round when we started. We have very loyal investors. We are a for-profit company, but we're not profitable yet. We're about break even. And that's common for an early stage startup. We don't want to be the type of company that raises $100 million from VC funds. Like, we don't want to raise money ever again. And we're at a point where almost where we probably don't have to. But our whole mission relies on getting shops to think differently, or at least be willing to learn. So that would be my biggest fear is, either it won't happen or it won't happen fast enough. And then we have to start sacrifice, like giving up on the mission. And then all of a sudden we do just the same recruiting everyone else does. And then it's like, yeah, we can make money doing that. But if we're really going to affect change, we want to do things the right way.
Definitely. What do you think, Jay?
I don't have anything to add to what Mark just said. I think he nailed it. So respect of time, I'll go with Mark's answer there because it was good.
Sounds great. All right. Jay, let's go to you for this one first. What advice do you have for young technicians getting ready to enter the industry?
It's a great question, and one that I'm really passionate about because I think I screwed this up early in my career, which is being guilty of looking for the biggest paycheck right off the bat, rather than looking for a place that's going to help grow you and mold you into being a really good technician. I think it can be really hard when you're, you know, 20, 21, 22 years old, not to look and say, hey, that place pays the most, and because of that, I'm going to get a brand new truck. And, you know, I it's hard when you're in that situation, but if they can really sit back and find a place that's going to grow them and really cares about them as a person, and does their due diligence to find out what shop that is. And listen, the right fit is not going to be the same for everybody. And I think being able to understand that people learn differently from different people. I've had teachers in my past that I couldn't have learned a thing from, but others that, it's like a switch, right? It clicks. And so I think being overly focused on just who's going to help me out the most and get me the training I need and be patient enough with me to be able to get me to a point to where I am a high producer, for a young tech, I think that's imperative.
It's great advice for young tech or any young people in any industry for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Pretty much the same as Jay. I mean, when you're talking, whether you're searching people on Wrenchway or you're going out and visiting shops, just find a place with great owners or great managers. You can tell, I don't care what age you are, you can tell when you walk into a place if there's tension. You can ask people that work there, you know, what do they do? It's not like you're finding a place to party while you work or anything, but if you see people that are genuinely happy, that's usually a good sign. If you see that the company invests in their community, that their values and morals match up with your own. Like Jay said, some people want to work side by side with the owner in a small shop. Some people want to work for a giant company. That's up to you. But I would say yes to everything Jay said, places that can get you where you need to be professionally, but also personally, just look at if people don't seem happy there, run the other way. I mean, that's what I'd say.
Follow your gut.
What Jay said. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I have one last question and then we'll have a few minutes left for Q&A. So if anyone has questions, feel free to submit them in there. But my last question for you guys is, what is your prediction for the industry or for Wrenchway over the next year?
Is this me first?
Yes.
All right. In this, well, next year you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. So not super long. I mean, I don't think I know the shortage isn't getting any better in the next year. In fact, I bet it gets worse. Every trade's looking, every professional is looking. So because of that, I think you'll see tech's pay increase more. You're already seeing that. And I think that's only going to continue. And then the second part, sorry, Sarah, I should have had this in front of me, was about Wrenchway, right?
Yes. All good shops will get signed up.
Oh, where do you see Wrenchway? Where do you see Wrenchway in the next year?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, going back to the very beginning of this, like, I think we're going to keep making progress towards our goal of getting all the best shops on one platform and making it easier for techs to find them and interact with them and ask questions. Like, I believe in us. I have confidence in myself, have confidence in both of you two and the team we have. I think we have great early adopter clients that will help us, like for Wrenchway, maybe not the next year, every shop in the country, but I truly believe when we had that slide Jay put earlier of 1,000 shops, I think we'll double that in the next year. I really think we could, because the momentum is going. And I think that pain point shops are facing is getting more and more painful, and they can't just keep kicking the can down the road.
For sure. Jay, what about you?
I think, again, I hate to continually echo off of Mark, but I do think that's realistic. I think doing special promotions like we're doing for this third anniversary, it really, our goal is to make it an absolute no-brainer to be on our program, right? And I think we're getting closer and closer to that. We're probably not 100% there yet, but I also think, like, that price point, there's no excuses anymore, right? Like, there's no reason not to be on and show off who you are, show off who the industry is. You know, we have a lot of educators using the Wrenchway pages now to be able to educate their students on what real careers look like in this industry. So I think just continued growth. And I do see more and more competitors working together, where in the past that was very much a no-no. But I go back to when I was growing up and how much of a no-no it was to take a tech from a neighboring shop. And I think it's kind of, we're in a point in time where it's kind of like the Wild West, and really that the leverage has shifted to technicians drastically. And it's going to require competitors working together to uplift the entire industry. So I could see a lot of that moving forward as well.
Definitely. All right. It looks like we do have another question here that came through the Q&A. So impacting career decisions by young developing employees through organizations like 4-H, FFA, AFA, and other career builders will assist you with fulfilling your mission. How do you manage your outreach to those organizations?
I can take that. Good question. I mean, one thing we have to keep in mind is we are a small company. We can't reach out to everybody. That being said, we have great members within our community we've created that can help us. So as we add schools, so the examples you mentioned, 4-H, I was on growing up, FFA, I was in the schools we have, the instructors that are part of that. That's something, honestly, I don't think we've spent a lot of time on, but we also, being honest, are going to need help. The instructors we have, we want them to get us involved in that. And I don't know that we'll be able to spend a lot of time with them, but what we can do is get all the shops content on there, get our webinars, our recordings, things like that. And the more instructors, the more group leaders, the more community members that can point people to see our content and the shop's content, the better. I don't know if that directly answers the question. I don't think we'll have direct resources internally, like employees calling up those groups, just because realistically we're trying to get every school first and every shop. But again, I think as we grow the community, it like spider webs out, and there's ways that shops or schools can get us in with those groups as well.
Great. Yeah. So I think that's all the questions we have. Do either of you have any other final thoughts you wanted to share?
Yeah, I'd like to call out, there's a comment that Leslie made that FYI, we school districts can't find licensed auto instructors, meaning we can't even start the worker pipeline. We just lost our autos teacher and there is no candidate pool to draw from. Our autos courses are now in danger of being canceled. We're seeing this all over the country right now, and it is a huge risk to our industry. And Leslie, if you ever want to talk about it, feel free to reach out to us. We take this very seriously. As Mark said earlier in the conversation, we're currently working with a school trying to help them out and trying to get industry support to really keep the program afloat. And actually, the one school district just announced that they're going to do a remodel of both their classroom and lab for their automotive program. And that was a program that was about to get cut. So I think we can help impact that. We can help bring industry in to help out, but it's heartbreaking to hear that. And any way that we can help out, we'll be more than happy to try to help out. So please feel free to reach out to us and we'll definitely work with you.
Yeah. Good comment. I'm glad you called that one out, Jay. Kind of my closing comment is just thank you, everyone that's listening to this. It has been a lot of ups and downs these 3 years. We are not going to quit. We are going to keep pushing forward with this. Again, I'm confident in our team and the industry we're in the community we've helped create. We'll get there, but realistically, it's not going to get there tomorrow or anything like that. So in addition to my thanks, I would ask for continued patience as we build this. I don't think we ask a lot in terms of time or money, but I think, or I hope at least you guys are seeing that it's not like Jay and I are just out, you know, buying a big boat or anything. Like, we are spending this wisely. We are adding more great team members. Like I said, we straddle that break-even line. This isn't a pity party for us. Like, we'll make the business work, but hopefully you guys see that our intentions are in the right place and we are doing everything we can, but we need others. I'm following Jay's lead. Like, a lot of the product stuff, a lot of building the company, maybe sometimes Jay follows my lead on the block and tackle stuff, but the mission, the learning about the industry, we're all following Jay's lead in that, and he is infectious. And so Jay, with that, I'll just say, kind of as a business partner, thank you for the last 3 years. It's been a wild ride, and I look forward to the next 15, 20. I don't know. I'm getting a little gray, so I don't know how many years I have left. Thank you for everything you've taught me.
Same goes for you. I think we complement each other very, very well in what our skill sets are. And I think to everybody from the Wrenchway team, not everybody's able to get on a call like this over the course of a day, but we have so many incredibly smart and talented people, and frankly, just really nice people. And I think that's such a big component to where, when I worked for other people, I always wanted to like going into work and like the people that I worked with. And we have a really, really close team. Even those that have left Wrenchway, I'm still very, very close with a lot of them, or most of them, right? And so that means the world to me that we're able to build something that, you know, I think we can change an industry with, as well as just make people happy to want to come to work every day. So it's been pretty cool. And special shout out to Sarah. Sarah oftentimes is kind of in the background and does a lot to make us look good. She coordinates a lot of the stuff that we put on, including webinars like this. And really, really lucky to have you, Sarah, and the entire marketing team. Sorry for the kind of nostalgic message here, but it's cool. And I appreciate everybody that's here and love working with everybody here.
Likewise. And thank you guys for being willing to be on here, answer some tough questions and be transparent. I appreciate it. And I know all of our customers and everyone on this webinar appreciates it as well.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
That wraps up this week's episode of Beyond the Wrench. Be sure to tune in next week for another brand new episode. As a reminder, don't forget to rate and follow Beyond the Wrench on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps us get Beyond the Wrench in front of other fantastic shop owners, managers, technicians, and dealers just like you, so we can continue to help improve, promote, and grow this amazing industry. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week.